Okay, let's begin this week's Parsha, Parshas Vayera. Share with you a few short ideas. First idea, let's start with something very light. There's an expression, I do not know where this expression comes from. I saw this in the Sefer Alehi Gayon by Rabbi Klein. He also says he does not know where it comes from. Kavdeyu v'choshdeyu. Which means, give a person kavod, but be cautious. Suspect the worst. Beware. You meet a stranger, and you should. It's an expression. Give a person. You meet a person the very first time. Be mechabed him. Give him kavod. But if you don't really know who he is, be cautious. Choshteyu, chshat. Suspect. Who knows? He may be a charlatan. He may be a fraud. Who knows what he wants? You have to be. You have to be careful.
Something like trust but verify.
Exactly. Kabdeyu, give him kavod, give him honor, v'choshteyu, but also be suspicious.
Suspect
that who knows what he's up to. This really, so he mentions that it really comes from a medrash. The medrash tells that one of the Tanoim, I do not remember the name of the Tana, the Spirit of Tana, he met a guest, someone came to shul, and he said, I need a place to stay. So of course, the host, he took him into the house, he brought him up to the attic, and he gave him a meal, and he gave him a place to sleep. But he took the ladder when it came at night. He took the, you know, the medrash. He took the ladder away, so he's not able. What?
Wanted to kill one of the Tanaim or
Amorim. Yeah. A papa.
They put a hole in the floor.
Yeah.
And he would fall through.
Fall through the floor. So he was careful not to stand there.
He didn't know, but somebody said something to him that made him think that.
Watch out.
Be careful where I walk.
Okay. So the mice and the Gemara is the Medrash is that the Tana, he took the guest, he gave him a meal, he gave him a place to sleep, but he took away the ladder. And sure enough, it was a Ganef. So the Ganef, middle of the night, he cleaned out the entire attic, he took all of the valuables, he put it into a bag, and then he thought the ladder was still there, so it was the middle of the night, it was pitch black dark, he goes to the roof, and then as he goes off where he thought the ladder was, he steps and he falls down on the floor, and he's lying there the whole night, paralyzed. In the morning, the Tana wakes up, and he sees him lying there, and he says to him, and he sees, there's the Ganef, he sees the bag is there with all the goods, and he's lying there on the floor, he's hurt, he can't move. So the Ganef said, how did you know? How did you know to take away the ladder? So he says, you were so kind to me, you gave me such a beautiful, you gave me a meal, you gave me a place to sleep. So he says, that's the kabdeyu v'chashdeyu. You have to give a person kavod, but every time you give a person honor, you have to still be careful, you have to protect yourself. Yeah.
Like, you have to cover the block.
Okay, but there Yehuda was the weaker party. He was subject to the goodwill of Yosef. Here let you have this idea even when you are have the upper hand, you are in control. So Rabbi Klein, he does say something very interesting. So we learn from this week's parasha. We have this idea in the beginning of this week's parasha. Who comes to Avin Avraham Avinu Mayera? Three Arovim. Three who look like Arabs. Three people who worship the dust of their feet. What does Avram say to these three people? Yukach no me'atmayim. The first thing is we have to clean your feet. I have to be choshed that you are people who worship idols. But on the other hand, Avraham, he took them into his home and he gave them a lavish meal. He prepared shloishkim senach kemachselis. He gave them tongue with mustard. He was extremely generous. So you see, Avraham was kabdehu. He gave cover to the guests. But choshdehu, he suspected, who knows, maybe they are over the zara. They have to wash their feet before they come into my house. However, he makes the following point, which is very interesting. The shear of chshad is much less than the shear of kavod. That's what we learned from this week's parasha. How much water is a Jewish? It's not precise, but how much water did Avram instruct to bring for these malachim, for these guests? Yukach no me'at mayim. When I'm choshed that you're a ganav, just a little bit. Kavod kadehu, go to town. Three tongues with mustard. Shloish kim semach kemach soilas. I'm going to go all out for you. Kovoy, there's no shear. Chshad, yukach no me'at. Just a small chshad. I have to protect myself just a little bit. You can have my credit card. Just I'm not going to give you the security code. You can get away. You can do a lot of harm with the credit card without the security code. Not everyone requires the security code. But a little chshad, just a little chshad. There's a shiur in choshdeyu and there's a shiur in kadeyu. Kadeyu, sky's the limit. Chashteyu, just yukachna me'atmaim. A nice little idea we learned from Rabbi Klein. The sixth passion. Let's go to another idea. We learned this idea, the concept of Yirash Shamayim. Avraham this week comes to the Pelishtim. And the Pelishtim, Avimelech, sees or hears about Sarah. He abducts her. And Sarah says, and Avimelech says, I'm an innocent man because Avraham claims that she is his sister, and she claims Avraham is brother, so he has done nothing wrong. In the middle of the night, Hashem comes and says to him, you're going to die, you've taken a married woman, a Bu'ulas Baal, and Avimelech says to him, Ribbono Shel Olam, tzaddik, ha'goy gam tzaddik, tarog, what did I do? He told me that she's his sister, she said that he's his brother, what did I do? Hashem says, I know you didn't do anything wrong, but you better let her go right away, otherwise you're in a lot of trouble. The next morning, he meets Avraham, and he says to Avraham, what did you do to me? Avram says, "Rak, ein yiras elokim b'makom hazeh." What is going on? So Rav Yashiv, Zechet Tzadik Levracha, in one of the sefer that he wrote 50 years ago called Divrei Haggadah, he says, "So this parsha, we learn the taich. It's very hard to define yiras shamayim. Define for me, what does it mean that a person is a yorei shamayim? It's a very hard thing to put your finger on to define." That the whole life you were trying to acquire Yiras Shamayim. So we have to first understand the story in a little bit more detail. Avimelech, why did Hashem say to Avimelech, I'm going to kill you, you're going to die. She's a Bu'ulas Baal. Avimelech is right. Avimelech is right. He did nothing wrong. He took Sarah. Sarah said that she's his sister. Avram said that the brother and sister. The answer is, Avimelech, even though wanted, had such a yetzahara for Sarah, he was looking for excuses to keep her. It's certain that his past actions, this is like Pashup Shah and the Pasek, his past actions, he's innocent. He has done nothing. Why did Hashem say to Avimelech, I'm going to kill you? It's because Avimelech wanted to keep her, even though now it was discovered that they're really husband and wife. In other words, the truth is, wow, they're really husband and wife. Okay, I'm innocent what I've done so far. But listen, the facts are the facts. On the books, they are brother and sister. Even though I know what the truth is, they're husband and wife, but I want her. So what's the big deal? So what? She's a married woman. According to some of the Mefarshim, he gave her a get. Really, he gave her a get because he was afraid that something like this would happen. So since, technically, you go to court, we have a legal loophole on the books. Brother, sister, I'm allowed to keep her. I want her. I like her. I want to keep her. Oh, it's true that they really were husband and wife, and he gave her a get in order because he wanted to protect himself and so. Okay, I understand. But right now, I'm in a situation where if I will go to court, I will win in court. Hashem says to him, listen, for your past actions, there's no question, you're an innocent man. But I'm warning you now that what you're doing in the future, your plan for the future to get away with it, I'm going to kill you for this. Because it's true, technically, legally, you can win in court, but it's not the right thing to do. It's not the right thing, it's not an ethical thing to do, to take a woman who was married to another man and only gave a get in order to preserve his life because of the immoral climate that they're coming to, because of they're taking advantage of the situation. This is unethical, and you will die for this breach of ethics. That's really what it's all about. Avimelech had no choice, and he delayed. You notice he didn't do it right away. The next morning, he gets up in the morning, he brings all of his servants, he has a conversation, he talks to them. The people are more afraid than he is. He doesn't seem to be so afraid. The people in this country seem to be more afraid. Finally gets around, okay, you know what, I'm going to give her away. He calls Avraham. Slowly, over a long process, he releases her. So along comes, and what does Avram say to him at the end? This is a makom of no Yiras Shamayim. Because what is Yiras Shamayim? Yiras Shamayim is where you do the right thing even though you can get away with it. The way Rabbi Yashiv explains is, a person who is not a Yiras Shamayim, when it comes to a question in life, it's usur. The starting point is forbidden. Until you can find a reason, it's made clear to you that it's mutter. If there is a dilemma, There are two tzadim. Maybe it's right, maybe what I'm doing is an avera, maybe what I'm doing is not an avera. Your approach is, if I don't know if it's right or wrong, and there's a possibility that what I'm doing is wrong, I have to assume it's wrong. I have to assume that it's forbidden. Hashem does not want me to do this because there's a possibility that it's not right to do. Unless it's made clear to me that it's 100% mutter. A person that does not have Yira Shemayim, his approach is, I want to do something. I know there's a possibility that it's wrong. There is definitely a possibility. But my approach is, it's mutter. And I'm only going to withdraw when you show me clearly that it is awesome. That's the difference between a person who has Yira Shemayim and a person who does not have Yira Shemayim. When you have a dilemma, and in front of you, you realize the possibility that what you're doing might be very, very wrong. But there's a tzad to say that what you're doing is okay. What is the default? Where do you take your initial position? A Yira Shemayim is choshed, maybe Hashem doesn't want me to do this, and therefore I'm going to withhold. Unless it's made clear to me through a discussion, through analyzing the situation, that it is 100% permitted. A person that lacks the Yira Shemayim follows the approach of Avimelech. Avimelech says, I'm in a situation, I have here in front of me a woman who I want to marry, I like her very much, technically everything is A-OK, everything is fine, so it's mutter. It's mutter. Oh, but it's not ethical. It's not the right thing. Really, she was a married woman. They only got divorced because of the situation, the circumstances. It's not right. So what? It's mutter. You prove to me that it's usur, and then I will release her. Hashem says to him, if you don't release her, I'm going to kill you. That's my proof to you. That's what I'm telling you. Okay, I have no choice. I'll release her slowly. I'll talk to my people. We'll gradually release her. That is the taich of a person that has no Yira Shemayim. Kirak in Yiras Elokim b'makom hazeh. When Hashem is on the back burner, he's only, you show me, Hashem, that it's also, then I'll listen to you, instead of taking the approach where it's also to start, and until it's proven that it's mutter. That's the difference between a person that has Yira Shemayim and a person that lacks Yira Shemayim.
Isn't the concept of Chomer also?
No, I try to say, be very careful. Dealing with a situation, not a chumra. Chumra is a different concept. Dealing with a situation with something
people
like this.
People aren't sure, so they do the extreme because they want to make.
No, you have to. You can't generalize. In this situation where a man hasn't, let's just use this example. Here it's very clear that there's something ethically wrong. That type, that chumra is already going into a different topic. Chumras are already another madrega, which chumra is not for everyone. Chumra is only for special people. I'm dealing with a situation where you have a moral dilemma. Let's talk about a moral dilemma, like in this case. A moral dilemma. I can hear both sides. I can hear that doing this will cause someone aggravation, will cause someone harm. And on the other hand, so that's the way the world exists. People have to make parnasa. Everyone has a right to have a business. You have two pizza stores. If there's enough business for both people, so I'm also allowed to make a parnasa to have my pizza store, even though we're two blocks away from another pizza store. But on the other hand, I'm cutting into his business. I can hear the tzad that it's wrong, but there's also a tzad to say that it's okay. So where do you take your starting position? A Yoreh Shemayim will right away, I'm not going to do anything, I'm not going to open up my store until I know for sure that it's 100% mutter. A person that lacks Yoreh Shemayim says, I'm going to open up the store today, right away, and then if there's a problem, then I'll close the store. Because, and that's what we learned, that is exactly what happened here in the story with Avraham and Sod Avimelech. Avimelech took her, he kept her, I'm keeping her, I'm not letting go, I don't care, I'm not letting go. When you'll go and you'll show me that it's also, then I'll let go of her. And Avraham said, this approach in life of doing something right away, I'm going to do it, and when you show me that it's wrong, I'm going to let go. This is the taich of Rak. That is what El Yashiv comes to define the Mahus of Yirah Shemayim. Where do you take your starting position in an immoral, ethical issue in life? Do you right away, let's go for it, and we'll get into trouble, we'll backtrack, or no, hands off. Let's first clarify if this is proper, and then we will proceed. That's a different approach to life, dealing with moral, dealing with ethics and moral issues. Okay, let's go to another idea. There's a beautiful targum. Avram comes to Sarai. Okay, if I were to fantasize about someone inviting me to speak by Shev Brachas or speaking under a chuppah, this is the drasha I would say in honor of this week's parsha. Following idea. We come here to Parshas, the Plishtim, the nation of the Plishtim. We come to Avimelech. Avimelech abducts Sarah. There's a conversation. Let me read you the pasuk, the exact pasuk I want to refer to. Here we go. V'gam omno, achoisi Avimelech. Avimelech approaches Avram, Vayomer, and it says, what have you done? Vayomer Avimelech el Avram, moru iso ki osiso es hadovar hazeh. What have you done to me? Vayomer Avraham ki amarti, I have said, rak in yiris lakim amokim hazeh, v'haruguni el dvar ishti. And then he says the following, you should know that she really is my sister. We're related. She is my niece. So a niece, to some degree, she's the daughter of Haran, and Haran is my brother. Haran was my brother, so my brother, and it's his daughter. So a niece can technically be called a sister. I didn't lie; it was a white lie. I didn't really lie. That's what he says. Legam omna achosi. She is my sister. She is bas avihi. She is the daughter of my father, meaning daughter of my father, a granddaughter of my father through my brother. Ach le bas imi. She doesn't have the same mother. That's why I'm allowed to marry her. Vatehi li liisha. So she is my cousin. She is my niece. She's my niece, and I married her. But she technically can be called my sister because we share the same grandfather. Okay, that's the relationship. We share the same grandfather. Just like when you share the same father, it's called a brother and sister. When you share the same grandfather, you also can loosely be called a sister. We share something in common. Now he goes on to say, Avram continues his conversation, that he was ka'asher his u'ocl Elokim mi beis avi. I read that as one sentence because according to the Trump, that's how it should be read. And these are very hard words to translate. Rashi struggles with these words. Rashi basically said the word hisu means when I went into exile, when I had to travel, when I went into Golus. Hisu means to travel. Travel from one location to another location because you have to run away from your country. It was kasher hisu osi elokim mi beisin when HaKadosh Baruch Hu caused me to flee, to leave. Advised me lech lecha mi'atcha mi'molatcha to leave my home, and I traveled from place to place through the guidance of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So I realized that when I come to different countries, I would come lidei sakana when they would see this beautiful woman, and when they would suspect that I am her husband, they would kill me in order to take her for themselves. So I said to her, V'oimar lo, I said to her, do me a favor, Zechastech, this shall be your kindness. Asher ta'asi imodi, el kol hamakoyim asher nevoi shama, every place that we come to, immediately say to me, Achihu, I want you to say that you are my brother. I asked my wife to do me a toiva to lie. I asked her to lie. It's not a full lie. It's a white lie because of the danger. When did this danger come into existence? When I was instructed by HaKadosh Baruch Hu to leave the Beis Avi and to travel. Kasher hisu osi. Hashem caused me to travel. Elokim mi Beis Avi. This is what I asked her to do. This is the way Rashi learns the civil translation of the pasuk, and that's if you read the pasuk with the trap. That's how the psukim are divided. The words are divided with the trap. Along comes the Targum Unkelis, and he does something which is very different. Targum Unkelis here is more like Targum Yonasan Ben Uzil. We have Targum Unkelis, Targum Yonasan Ben Uzil, Targum Yosham, Targum Yonasan Ben Uzil always injects into the Psukim, Midrashim. He says like really interesting things, which is not the Pashim Shah in the Pasuk. Many times it's not even, you can even read it into the Pasuk. He just adds in insights into the Pasuk. Here Unkelis does something that is very similar to what Targum Yonasan Ben Uzil does, and he has a whole new translation of the Pasuk. And let me read you first, let me explain it, I'll explain what he says, and then I'll read you inside the Targum. Vayhi was kasher hisu, comma. The Targum Munkelis puts a comma, or maybe even a period, after the word hisu. Not like Rashi that puts kasher hisu osi elokim beisavi. No, don't read that as one sentence. Read it kasher hisu. What does that mean? It was a time in my life when the world was mistaken. Loshon of toe, to err, to make a mistake. The whole world went astray. They worshipped idols. It was after the generation of the Dar HaMabul, Dar HaFloga. People were worshipping idols. They believed in the moon, in the stars, in the sun, in man. They have all these crazy ideas. No one was willing to acknowledge that there is a creator, there is a Ribbono Shel Olam. It was at a time in my life, Kasher Hisu. What happened? Oh, see, I was Avraham HaIvri. I was on the other side of the world. I was a loner, one-man show. Oh, see me, Elohim, Hashem took me, Mibeis Avi. Hashem took me, Hashem appeared to me, inspired me to follow in His ways and to build, to create a nation who will believe in HaKadosh Baruch Hu through me. It was at that time in my life when I realized I got a big problem now. I'm in danger because I am on the other side of the world and people are going to want to kill me because since I am the only one that acknowledges HaKadosh Baruch Hu and everyone is against me, the world has been led astray to worship idols and I am following HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It's a time of great danger. And I said to her, we're now going to travel through the world. We're going to be in great danger because I'm all alone. I'm in my beliefs and I'm in great danger. They're going to want to kill me, especially when they see the beautiful woman with me. They're going to want to take you. So now let me read you to clarify. Let me read you the words of Targum. Inside, okay. Pasuk Yud Gimel in the Targum. It's Perikop Pasuk Yud Gimel. Could I see this in someone? You get a chance later on. Vahava, it was kad when tohu amimaya bosar ovode yidehom. Unbelievable, uncle. This is not like from New Zealand. It was when the world, all of the nations of the world, tohu. They made the biggest mistake you can possibly make, and they worshipped the work of their hands. They worshipped idols. So those are the words. Kasher Hisu, period. Next. Then the Targum goes further. Yossi. But me? Me, Avraham. I was then Avraham. Koriv Hashem Lidachalte. Hashem recruited me. I was the recipient of the ultimate kindness of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. I alone was recruited by HaKadosh Baruch Hu for His service. Vadachale means for His service. Where did Hashem recruit me? When I was back home. I was back in Aram Naharaim, in Iraq. I was in Iraq, there in Baghdad, Mibeis Abba. And at that time, when I was recruited, I realized I have a mission. I'm going to go travel the world to convince the world that there's a Ribbono Shel Olam, and this is very dangerous, and it's not going to help walking around with a beautiful woman at my side. That'll be even a greater danger. So I said to Sarah, listen, Sarah, the Amoris law, I said to her, listen, Yadum Yatoiva, Dein Tivusich, this is the kindness, Di Sabdi Imi Lochol Ashra Di Nahach Lesamon, every place that we reach, Emri Alai Achi, who I want you to say that you are my brother. We're not husband and wife, we're brother and sister, and we will be okay. It's an incredible Targum. Fascinating Targum. And Rashi acknowledges the Chiddush of the Targum. If you look at the beginning of the Rashi, let me just see, Vayikah Asher Hisu, I'll see. The Rashi says in a few words, Umgelis Tirgem Masha Tirgem. Wow. Umgelis says a mouthful. He takes this pasuk, he breaks it up in a very strange way, he puts a period where there is no period. The trup does not flow according to our Messiah, according to the Targum, and he does what he does, it's very hard to translate, but that's his opinion. But Rashi acknowledges there's a Targum, and then he goes on to say, but let me tell you, the pasuk shan the pasuk, kasher hisu, also means when I was traveling, not talking about religion, we're just talking about, you know, I had a hard life, I had to travel, during my travels, it was sakana, and while I was traveling, I told her to me this time, very, very simple. Okay, now that we know what the Targum says, we have now a whole new understanding of Avram and Sarah. Who was Sarah? If you look at the Mefarshim, they call Sarah, they use this term often, a shutfa meleya. What is the role of a wife? So the different segments of Klal Yisrael, people view women differently. You know, there's the modern Orthodox, then you have Hasidim, you have Litvish Olam, and you have all different. You want to define. I once read an article. If you really want to define the essence of each branch of Orthodox Jewry, the key is to look at how they view the role of a woman. It's very hard. How do you differentiate between modern Orthodox and
tradition?
tradition, Hasidish, Litvish, Hari. You want to know the secret? The yisod is look at the article really said two things. Number one, the role the woman plays in life. What's the hashkafa? What role does a woman play in the home? Number two, secular education. That was the thrust of the article. That defines the different divisions in Klal Yisrael. Okay, but let's just focus on the role of a woman. What is the role of a woman? Now, this is general. This what I'm saying is general for every single segment. Is a woman just a support group? She's there. She's at home. She's behind the scenes. Called Kvud Bas Melech Penima. She provides support. She does the laundry. She washes. She makes the meals. But she has no role in the husband's work. You look at the Mefarshim, they make it very, very clear. I don't know how you want to go talk about people today, different segments of Klal Yisrael, but there's one thing that is clear in Chazal. Sarah was an equal partner in Avraham's role of being an Or La'anim. Avraham went out to teach the world there's a creator, there's a Baal Habira. The world didn't come into existence out of nothing. There's a creator. Sarah didn't just stay home and cook and clean and take care of Yitzchak. Sarah was an active partner in Avraham's role. It's a chazal. Avraham migayer es ho anoshim. The Sarah migayer es hanoshim. It's chazal. Okay, so we don't have to go into talk about modern day. Let's just focus on, to get into trouble and say the wrong thing, just focus on chazal. Where did this relationship begin? And you should know, if you look in ancient times, that wasn't the way women were viewed. That's certain. Ancient times, women were not equal partners. They were not what we call a shutfa meleya, an equal partner in the role, the function of the husband. That's not certainly ancient times. When did this begin? You know what the answer is? It began in this targum, in this pasuk. Now let's read the pasuk again with the targum. What does the Targum say? The Hava, it was a time in my life when the world was totally, when it was sugar, the world was crazy, a crazy world. Everyone starts worshipping idols. You go into the street, there are idols all over the place. The Hava ka tohu amamaya. It was a time when the nations of the world went meshuga. They lost their mind. Bosar oiv de yideihoim. They began to worship the work of their hand. But me? Hashem recruited me. I had a vision. Yossi kodev Hashem ledachalte. Hashem recruited me b'beis avi. And when Hashem recruited me, I realized, okay, here's the key. I realized, I can't do this alone. I can't do this alone. I need a partner. I need someone to help me. I need a shutfa meleya. Who's going to be my partner in going out, traveling the world, and telling everyone there's a Baal Habira? You know who my partner's going to be? Sarah. I said to her, you're my brother. A brother doesn't, in Chazal's terminology, emar lachochma achosiyat. You're my partner. When I called Sarah, she's my brother, he said to Paro,
sister.
I said, my sister. I said, my sister. Okay, sister, brother, same idea. I didn't mean that she's my biological sister. I didn't mean she's my sister biologically. Okay, that's part of Shad Rashi. We share the same grandfather. When you share a same father somewhere, there's a father there somewhere, all the way up there. Okay, that means biologically we're called brother and sister. I meant to say she's my partner. She's my sister. A wife is not just your wife. She's supposed to be your best friend. She's supposed to be your partner in life. The shutfa meleya. And in Chazal's terminology, the word shutfa meleya didn't exist. The terminology is, you're my brother. My brother means you're my partner. For a woman, you don't call her your brother, you call her your sister. That's the deeper meaning of what Avraham said to Avimelech. Avimelech, I'm a religious person. I came over here, you asked me, who is this woman? She's my sister. She's part of the team. She's on my team. We're a group. We're partners. She also happens to be my wife. That's another issue. Okay? You know, we have Barak and Devorah. Barak and Devorah were partners. But doesn't say they were husband and wife. You have to read between the lines. That's only a chazal that they were husband and wife. But they were partners. Baruch and Devorah, they're having a conversation. Are you going to go to battle? Are you going to go back? You would think they're dealing with two generals in a war. Just happens to be. They're married to each other. That's exactly what Sarah, that's exactly what Avram is saying. At that point in time, so let's read the passage again one more time. It was that point in time. Vayomer Avraham, Vahi Kasher Hisu. It was at a time, Kasher Hisu. The world lost its mind. But Osi, I was blessed. Elohim, with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, he came to me. Where did Hashem recruit me? Mi Beis Avi. I realized, I can't do this alone. V'oymar lo. I said to my wife, to this woman who was cleaning and taking care of the children, she didn't have a child yet, but I said to her, listen, you have to upgrade. This is, you just can't sit home the whole day and sew and cook and bake. This is going to be your role in life. Every place that we go, every place that we encounter to teach the world that is a Baal Habira, Imri li achihu, say about me that I'm your brother. In other words, we're partners. Avraham migayeres aho anoshim, v'sara migayeres es hanoshim. This is the role of a wife, to be a partner. So this is the drasha that I would say by the Shem Brachas, because this is really what's coming to define what a role is. A wife is really a brother and sister. Okay. This is one of art. Okay, let's go further. Let's go to another idea. Okay, another idea in this week's parasha. We have here, the beginning of the parasha, the story of Sarah laughing. Hashem appears to Avraham, three malachim, and the malach says, where's Sarah? Vayomer elav, ayei Sarah ishtech. Vayomer hinei v'ohel, vayomer shoiv oshuv elecha, I'm going to return k'eis chayav v'hinei vein l'sarah ishtech. A year from now, your wife, 90-year-old woman, is going to have a child. The Sarah Shemas Pesach Oil Samo Sarah was listening, she was eavesdropping behind the door. Vuacharov and Avraham was there but on the other side. Let's skip a pasik. Pasik Yubez Vatitzchak Sarah Bikirba Lemar. Sarah laughs. Bikirba inside of her, which seemingly means in her mind, quietly. After this point in life, I'm already an old woman. Is it possible for me to rejuvenate, to become a young woman, have a child? It's ridiculous. What is this malach saying? Yeah?
This pasuk yibes, this was an internal mental conversation she was having.
Bikirba, seemingly
she never
yes.
Spoke out? She never spoke
no,
out.
Never spoke out. So that it's chaksa bikirba. Let's see. Okay, a good point. Very good point. That's right. On their level, HaKadosh Baruch Hu criticized them in even their thoughts. That's right. Not for our level. We're not responsible for our thoughts. We can't control our thoughts. Almost impossible. But on their exalted level, she should not even in her mind have questioned HaKadosh Baruch Hu's bracha. Let's see. Vayom Hashem al Avraham, lo mazet sochakos sora lema ha'af umnam eileid vanid zokanti. Ha'yipolim Hashem davar, lama eido shuvilecha yizchayon l'sarabim. Okay, but sora denied. Next pasuk. Vati chacheish sora lema, sora denied it. She denied it. Lema loitzochakti. I didn't laugh. What kind of nonsense is this? Ki why? Ki yoreya. Because she was afraid. Now if you learn that on a very simple level, means she lied. On a very simple level, Sarah here is in denial because it was only in her thoughts, and maybe she twitched a teeny little bit in Mekayim Vatechachesh and Maisa, but she was in denial because she was afraid, she was under attack.
But laughing is something outward.
So maybe it was a twitch. So maybe either it means there was a teeny little microscopic twitch, or maybe it means that in her mind she was laughing, and that is enough on her exalted level to be disciplined or to be given musar on her level. Okay, whatever it is.
I know. Sounds crazy.
We can't judge them on their level. You're right. It's a very good point. But she denied on a very simple level. Maybe if you learn on a puzzle on a very simple level, maybe she laughed. Maybe she actually was laughing, and she now was under attack on a very simple level. She was under attack, and therefore it's naturally under attack. If you cannot prove, in those days there was no NSA, they weren't monitoring your emails, okay? So, and there was no security cameras, you know, you can't walk say down without stabbing under some security camera. In those days, you know, you can get away with it, right? No one's watching. There are no drones flying around in the sky. No one's looking down your license plate number, seeing when you walk. So in those days, you can get away with anything, right? easy life. So she said, listen, no, I was behind the door. There was no one there. There's no electronic surveillance. So how do they know? So she didn't know it. That's a very simple translation. Vayomer, and Avram said, lo, you're a liar. Hashem knows your machshavas, lo kitzuchot. Okay. Now, I saw from the Or Gedaliah, he says the basic idea in very, very short, and I want to elaborate a little bit more on what he says, not exactly what he says. He says that when it says Bikirba, when Sarah left Bikirba, how could it be that Sarah would lie? If Sarah really left, Sarah on her exalted Madrega should admit that she sinned, Chotasi. So the answer is, that's why it says Bikirba. It was subconscious. He's coming. It's more of a Hasidic approach to learn a pshat in the pasuk. But I want to bring out something later on, which he touches upon, which opens up a whole new understanding of these pesukim. The truth is, that's why the pasuk is Vatitzchak Bikirba. When Sarah said, "I did not laugh," Vatichachesh Sarah Lema, when she denied saying Loitzachoti, Sarah really believed that she did not laugh. She really believed it because consciously she did not laugh. She heard what the Malach said. Wow, I have a child. Interesting. Deep, deep down, you have to go speak to a psychologist, psychiatrist. Deep, deep down, HaKadosh Baruch was yoreh l'soif da'ita shel Adam. She was laughing. It's nonsense. Now, of course,
you can also laugh at something good.
But I'm saying she didn't even know. No, that's not the way. That's a different approach. That's a different approach. Let's go with the approach now that it was a negative. It was a mockery, a type of laughing. Let's assume for the moment. For the moment, you're saying good. That's another approach. But let's learn. Assume now that there was a laughter of mockery. Sarah was mocking this bracha. It's impossible. But Sarah did not even realize that deep, deep down in her inner subconscious thoughts, she was doing this. On a conscious level, and even subconsciously, to the best of her understanding, she was, Baruch Hashem, I accept the bracha, and I believe in the bracha, and I'm anticipating, I'm looking forward to the bracha. But HaKadosh Baruch Hu, who is Yoreh L'Soif Da'ita Shel Adam, knew, deep, deep, deep down, if you put her under some hypnosis, you go all the way down into her neshama, you would realize that it's a small, teeny mashu of laughter. Okay, fine. And that's why she denied it, because she believed that she was saying the truth. Why? Because she was under attack. And when she's under attack, Hiareya, when you're under attack, that also hides the subconscious. Sarah was unable to delve deep down within her subconscious to see if it's true that deep down she denied the bracha. She was under attack, Shkiyareya. She was unable to detect that there was some degree of subconscious denial, mockery, and that's why she said, Loitzachot, I did not laugh. Okay, now let's fast forward. Fast forwards a year later, Sarah has a child. And after she has a child, the child gets big. He becomes 2 years old. They have a party. And then she sends out the child to Cheder. Who's in his class? Who's in the Cheder with Yitzchak? Yishmael. Right? They live together in the house. And what happens? They see there, Sarah sees. Okay, let me find the pasuk. They were playing together. Okay, we have first the whole Maisa of Sodom. Let's jump ahead to Perikof Aleph. They have the Maisa of Sodom. Sarah, one day, Sarah was watching. She was sitting on the porch. As Ben Hogar HaMitzris HaShayolda LeAvraham Bitzachek. Ooh. She sees Yishmael is Mitzachek. What did he do? Rashi, Midrashim, Avodah Zorah, he was playing with arrows, he was making Litzonis. He was making Litzonis. Litzonis. Who is this little kid over? He's a nothing. He's not the Yoresh. He's Me'avi Melech Nesabra Sara. The father is not even Avraham. He was making Litzonis. That is denying the existence of who this person really is. Sarah now saw someone else be mitzachik. So the Or Gedaliah, who have Gedaliah Shor Zecher Tzadik Livracha, says, when Sarah saw years later someone else be mitzachik over Yitzchak, it hit her. It opened up her neshama, her subconscious thoughts, and she then realized, you know what? They were right. I was mitzachik. I was mitzachik. And that couple of years ago, when I was standing behind the door and the Malach said, you're going to have a child, The truth is, I was mitzachik. I didn't realize it. It was so deep down. I'm a tzadikus. So on the conscious level, and even on many layers of the subconscious level, I accepted the bracha, and I yearned for the bracha, and I said, Amen. But deep down, there was some small mashuhu of denial and mockery. I was unable to detect it at the time because of the whole circumstance. I was under attack. Everything happened so quickly. But now, years later, when I see someone else be mitzachik, do the same thing that I did, it triggered that deep down subconscious thought that was within me, and I realized they were right. They were right. I was a mitzachik. And now, I have to do tshuva. And what is the tshuva that she does? Look at the next words. The next words are, "Vatoymer li Avraham, goresh ho'amo hazos v'yespino." Drive out this woman and her child. Ki lo yirash ben ho'amo hazos im bini im Yitzchak. Today, if you go to a psychiatrist, you go to a therapist, say a million therapists, right? A school therapist, you would say that this woman has overreacted. She's off the charts. She says she has over here, she has a child, and she has a stepson, right? He has the shvader in the home, and the stepson goes and says something, insults her child. It's probably ma'asim b'chol yom. Right? People, they have children, they have stepchildren. So the stepchild insults the biological child, so, you get a little bit upset. So what do? So you fly off the handle, go meshuga. This woman out, child out. I don't care what happens to them. The husband will say, listen, he's my child. Let's go to the therapist. Let's go to the therapist. The therapist will say, listen, you can't react like this. You flew off the handle. They would lock her up. Can you imagine the media press, she would get for this, or her reaction? It's off the charts. So Taka, why didn't she drive her out? Why did she make the statement, Kilo Yirash? It's one thing, no, let's separate them. We'll live in separate houses. Now, all of a sudden, Kilo Yirash, and until now, he was going to be a Yirish. Hashem told Avraham that your Yirish is going to be Yitzchak. If it wasn't an issue until now, why all of a sudden now did it become an issue which had to be dealt with front and center? The answer is because now she realized that she was mitzachik. She realized now, years ago, what the bracha was, how true the bracha was, and she was guilty of being mitzachik, and now she has to make tikkun, rectification, for not believing in the bracha that Hashem gave her and Avraham, that Yitzchak is the only Yoyresh, ki bi Yitzchak yikor l'cha zara, and tzacha ki lo yirash in b'nei Yitzchak, that this person is an imposter, he's an outsider, and he has to be dealt with. If you take the psukim just at face value, an isolated incident, if you would never have any time where HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave her a special bracha, and she would deny the bracha, and it would be an isolated incident, you would have to say that this woman, Sarah, has overreacted and needs to be brought for therapy. That's what you would have to say. That's how you bring this story to any psychologist today, anything ever say, that's what they would tell you. But when you take this story and you connect it to the time in her life, that's what psychologists try to do. They try to go back into your childhood. Did someone do something to you? And if you're triggering feelings of your childhood, that's... When you go back to where all of this started, when Sarah indeed was a mitzachik, and Sarah denied the bracha of HaKadosh Baruch Hu ki b'yitzchak yikor l'cha zara, it all makes sense. It's not an overreaction.
The problem is that she's doing the tikkun, but not on her cheshbon, but on others' cheshbon.
It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter because that's how it has to be. This is how it should have been from the very beginning. If she believed in this brach from the very, very beginning, then it would never have got to this point where Yishmo would have been in a situation where he can be mitzachik against the Yorish of Avraham Avinu. It got too far. How did it get this far? How does it get so far that openly Yishmol is mitzachik, making litzonis of the Yoyresh of Avraham Avinu? How did this happen? It's because Sarah didn't have convictions. She never felt that it's really going to happen. Sarah sudden didn't believe in it. She didn't believe in it. To take Hagar, to take Tavi Yishmol. Sarah did not believe in the bracha to begin with. That's why she allowed it to get this far.
Right, but if she's doing the tikkun should be from her. Here she's chasing out Hagar and Yishmael.
Okay, that's a separate issue. But it doesn't matter. Hashem, it's Hashem's bracha. Hashem, right. It's Hashem's bracha. Be Yitzhak, Yilukar, Lucha, Zora. This is what Hashem wants. This was the bracha. Sora did not fully believe in the bracha. She didn't even realize she did not fully believe in the bracha. And that's why it got to this point. And then when she saw someone else with tzakik, it triggered the tzakik in herself. And she realized how wrong she was, and indeed she was guilty. And because she was guilty years ago, that's why she allowed it to get this far, where this Yishmael nearly killed Yitzchak. And that's why we have to put an end to it, and we have to overreact, to go back all the way to the very beginning, and believe with 100% emunah in the bracha Kadosh Baruch Hu, ki be Yitzchak kol hazara, and this Yishmael is out, is an imposter, and has to be removed from the bias. Okay, so this is a very powerful idea, which puts everything in context. The tzachik of Sarah, her denial, the tzachik of Yishmael, and her overreaction, because the overreaction is taking her back to her original tzachik and the recognition that she indeed was guilty. Yeah.
So it's like she's starting all over again?
Yeah. Yeah. She's trying to do the best. She can't start all over again. You can't go back in time. But she's trying to do the best that she can. To make misakin the wrong. Yeah.
Sarah saw the nevuah that what was going on was a bear.
You're putting in nevuah. Let's not put in nevuah. I am panim l'tara. Yeah. I'm not coming onto nevuah. Let's talk.
The Rishon is nedatik and tzadikim.
Yeah.
So she was a madrega. She was a bigger navi than Avram Avinu.
Yeah.
So the tzchayk, no matter how the thing it was, later when she came out with the nevuah, that's why she was vanished on the tzchayk.
I don't understand what you're saying. When she later...
It's normal for people, you know, tzchayk b'fnim, okay, you know.
Okay.
Machshava, let me start, whatever. But she was a madrega of nevuah.
Yeah.
So when the doctor with her, even on the...
More, okay, all right, okay. So all right, that's in line with what we're saying. Okay, I want to tell you two very quickly, we're out of time. Two other quickly. Number one, this Rabbi Moshe Wolfson, in Simun Sitecha, he makes the following observation. There's a Yishmael in Sefer, in Parashas Lech Lecha, and there's a Yishmol in Parashas Vayera. Very different Yishmols, the same person, but the way the Torah relates to Yishmol in Parashas Lech Lecha is, he's a great person. Lu Yishmol Yichye Lefonech. He's called in Parashas Lech Lecha Yishmol ben Avraham. Avraham has no children. Sarah says, "Nu, bring in Hagar, Ula Yibane Mimena, maybe I'll be built up through her." She has a child. And the child remains in the home of Avraham Avinu, and even though there was some fights with Sarah, but the end was Hashem says, "Don't worry about Yishmael; you're going to have a child." Avraham did not fully believe in the bracha, whatever that means exactly. And Avraham then comes to the end and says, "Lu Yishmael Yichya Lefanecha is Mispal Halavai Yishmael Shlo before you." And indeed, Hashem responds, "That's right; he's going to live. He's going to have 12 princes. 12 Nisim will come from Yishmael." Very choshev. Parshas Vayera, Yishmael's in nothing. Goresh es ben huamo hazos, get rid of her. No longer in Parshas Vayera is he called Yishmael ben Avram. He's called the ben ha'omo, the son of the maidservant. He's driven out. He's in nothing. He has no importance. The whole approach to Yishmael changes from Parshas Lech Lecha to Parshas Vayera. What is the hinge where it changes? Hashem pokad es Sarah vayas Hashem l'sarah kasher diber. When Sarah gave birth to a child, when Yitzchak was born, when Hashem remembered Sarah, there was a zikaron, and Sarah had a child, Yitzchak. All of a sudden, Yishmael went from the top of the world. His 12 Nesiim, Yishmael ben Avraham, Lu Yishmael Yichya Lefonecha, Shnei Moser Nesiim will come from him, to a Yishmael Goresh es ben Ho'amo Hazos. A nothing, a zero. Two different Yishmaels, two different parashas. Now, Hafeichba de Kulaba, everything that happens in current events is always merumas in the week's parish. This week's parish is the transition between the Yishmael, that is top of the world, and the Yishmael, that's a nothing. This week, there's an article in, I don't know if you took note of this article caught my attention, the article came from the Daily Caller. I saw it quoted secondhand, but I haven't heard the actual article, where
Daily what?
The Daily Caller. You ever hear of this website? this media outlet, but there was a report released, I do not know these organizations, by the PIRA Energy Group. Don't know what that is? They released a study estimating America's total liquid fuel production, including liquid natural gas and biofuels, at 12.1 million. Okay, the point is, the United States will outstrip Saudi Arabia in total liquid fuel production by the end of 2013. That by the end of the year, they came out with a study that Saudi Arabia, the Arab nations, will no longer be the world leader in fuel production.
They were never the world.
They were perceived to be the world leader.
Until the 70s, they maybe had 20%.
Yeah.
And then we had an explosion of use of
yes.
And it went up. There were some politics there.
Okay.
But they were never the leader.
Okay. All right. Okay. But it says here that between Saudi Arabia, which represents Yishmol, can't say not, and United States represents Esav, that Yishmol this week released on the Parsha, in the middle of the week, in Parsha's Vayera, released that guess what? Yishmol is no longer Lu Yishmol Yichye Lefanecha. We don't need them. We don't need them. We don't need the Shnei Masar Nisim. We can do without them. Because there are other people, there are other technology. The technology of the United States far surpasses. Surpasses their technology. They can drill horizontally in Eretz Yisrael. We know they're doing. The Jonas has invested millions of dollars in new technology. They can have oil in Eretz Yisrael as well. And so it says this was the report released that Yishmael. There's been a transition between Yishmael from Parshas Lech Lecha and the Yishmael from Parshas Vayera. Different Yishmaels. The Yishmael Vayera last week, they were on the top. Lu Yishmael, we need them. We can't drive our cars. The economy exists, only continues to exist because of their koyach, because of their power. And all of a sudden, this week, Vahashem pokad esor kasher omar. Vayas Hashem lusor kasher diber. Vatar vatei lebein. Yitzhak is born. And now Yitzhak is born. Goreish es ben ho'omo hazos. What we need to do to finish the process is that we should, Pekida, Hashem has to remember us. Has to be zichroinos. To tshuva ma'isim tovim, that brings the transition between the two Yishmos. Okay, there's one other vart. I want to tell you a very quick vart. Last vart. We learned that when the malachim come to stone, they meet up with Lot. Right? They come to save Lot. And it tells us that Lot, Chazal tell us, he was Yoshev, he was sitting. What is it, who's Yoshev? What, he's standing? That day, Lot became a Shofet. Became a Shofet, unbelievable. He was Chief Justice of Stone. He was appointed as the Chief Justice of Stone on that day. What does Lot do? He brings people into his home. And then all of a sudden, later in the evening, people come to his home and they say, who do you got? You have some guests here, bring them out. We want, now you would think, Lot is the Chief Justice, he has all the power, he can call the sheriff, he can call the police department. So the truth is he does. Lot, he protects his people. How does he protect his people? This is a fascinating pasuk, and I don't see the Mefarshim talk about this, but I think there's something very, very deep here. It says here, Vayomer Gesh Hallo, the people of Sodom say, move away. Vayomer Ech Bo Logo Vayishbait Shafot, they actually say, Vayishbait Shafot. He came to live here, he's a stranger. And all of a sudden, he's now the Chief Justice. Vayishbait Shafot. Ata Nora Luchamehem. Vayivtsiru Vayishbait Me'od. Vayikshu, they come now, Lishbor Hadoles. They come to break the door. Why all of a sudden we mention the door? The door. And let's go further. And they lock the door. Wait, did I skip a pasuk? Yes. Alright, let's go back. The first thing Lot does when the people come, if you were writing the story, I guarantee you would not write this detail. He closed the door. Behind himself. It's not important. That's not it. We'll figure that on our own. Torah doesn't write every single detail. It doesn't tell us what they were wearing. They were wearing what color shirt they were going to have for dinner, what the party was. It doesn't tell us the menu. It doesn't tell. He closed the door. What's this all about here? He closed the door. V'hadeles sogar acharof. Then they come, oh, you're a shofet. And it says there, he closed the door. The malachim, they closed. What's all the door about? The answer is, what did Lot use the door for? He used the door to protect his guests. What was Lot? Lot was a shofet. What is the role of government? Okay, so this is a very big debate. Take a course in the political science. What's the role of government to be proactive? Is to go and conquer the world, to colonize the world, and to collect? Or is the role of government simple?
To protect the citizens.
Protection. Very big difference. Not everyone agrees that the role of government is to protect. That's a side thing. Is that the primary role of government, to protect its citizens? Is it? I don't think every government has that on their charter. That's the primary role. That's a side thing. That's a secondary thing.
To look for the welfare.
We learn here. Well, Baruch Hashem, we live in America, so that's how we view government. But we learn here an incredible chiddush. The role of a shofet is to protect your citizens. You know what the main tool? I have a gavel, right? A gavel. That's what it would show. No, you know what? Notice shofet's main, the door. That's the symbol of a shofet. Because a door is something which provides protection. You're in a room, you're in an enclosed area, people can come in, they can come and go harm you. When you shut the door, you're protected. That's the role, that is the symbol of government. The symbol of government in Chazal's eye is the delas. There's hadelas sogaru. How do I know this? Where do we see this reappear? Let's go to Parashas Mishpatim. Parashas Mishpatim, we have the story of the Eved Ivri. The Eved Ivri, he serves there for 6 years. So the whole reason why now after 6 years, I don't want to leave. I have to, yes, Adoni, oh, you're going to be in there. So what do you do? You bring them to Ho Elohim. You bring them to the government, to the authority. And what is the authority? Do they take him to the door and the mezuzah? Now, why the door? So there's a beautiful medrash, because the door, Pasach Hashem, Al Batim Eim Mitzrayim, okay, we know the medrash, Ayin Panim L'Torah. Why does the Elohim, the court, take the nirtzeh to the door? Because they're taking them to their symbol. When the authority in town has to do official business, it's done at the door, because the door is what government is what is the symbol of government. Government is to protect its citizens, just like Lot, who was appointed a shofet. He was Yoshe b'Shar Sodom, Vayishbot Shofot, and Lot is described here. What is Lot doing in his capacity as a shofet? He is v'yasadela sogaru. He's protecting his citizens, his people, with the door. The door is the symbol of what the role of government is. When it comes to a nirtza, and the government, the authority, the bezin, has to do official business, the official business is done with the door. Because this is what bezin represents. Okay, have a wonderful Shabbos.